Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, the prison strike is over. Also, there's an opportunity to remove racist language from the Constitution. And Mo Brooks says there's a money scam going on in politics. Is it Nancy? Is it Joe?
I realize that, Your Honor, but I would really, really, really like a continuance.
I'll have to hear good cause, Counsel. What's the problem?
I can't lie!
Nope. Mo says it's Donald Trump. Of course, he's a sore loser. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi. You know, it's been interesting. It always is interesting in politics. But, you know, Mo Brooks came out this past week, put out a tweet where he accused Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, of his fundraising operations being a scam. Now, I know, Susan, you and Josh don't find that shocking, do you?
I am, wow, no, totally surprised that it could possibly be a scam.
What? I mean, no way. Donald Trump was running a scam? Get out of here.
I'm with Josh. I'm with Josh.
Okay, but and this comes from a Yahoo Finance report that showed that only 9 cents on the dollar actually went to campaign or any kind of substantive thing. The rest of it was administrative.
Yeah. It's always administrative. Anybody that looks at campaign finance reports knows that administrative is a sinkhole for where you want to funnel your money to your buddies.
Yeah. The things that we want to do, really, with your money that you send us. Yes, that's what that administrative means.
Not what you send it to us for, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just part of a pattern for the former president. I mean, this is, you look, there were other reports this week of him overcharging the Secret Service, you know, 2 and 3 times what the normal rates would be for them to stay at his hotel while they were guarding him and his family members. You know, this has gone on for a long time. There have been other reports about how they were automatically taking money out of the accounts of people who donated, and that people, you had to opt out of this, and yeah, people yeah. had no idea. It was in the fine print at the bottom. This is a scam. It's always been a scam. It's a scam to raise money for a guy who's, you know, failed a lot at this.
But Brooks, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black a little bit there?
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Because Brooks, you know, Brooks spent 4.4 of all the money he raised in his campaign.
Administratively?
Yes, it was on administrative. So I don't know, you know, and the other thing is that MAGAMO has now gone into scorched earth Mo. And, you know, I don't know that anybody cares.
Go home, Mo, please. Just go home. We're tired of it. We don't want to hear it anymore. Nobody cares. Go home.
I hope he keeps talking. I mean,
he's sounding, a lot more like you, Josh, these days than a Republican.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, a bit of an insult for me, but thanks. But I do say, you know, I think that at this point, we all now see what we were saying for quite some time, is that Mo Brooks is all about Mo Brooks. And this is doing. This is a guy that he was, you know, was courting, calling himself MAGA Mo. This is who he is. This was all in his own self-interest. That's what the way he conducted himself for 10 years in Congress. It was all about him.
He has no hope of future office at all, and he still won't shut up.
Well, I don't think he can. You know, because he's like the crypt keeper. You know, the crypt keeper never dies.
Kind of looks like the crypt keeper.
It's his job to just keep living on. But, I mean, you know, this whole thing about campaign finance, we know so much of it is just, it is
malarkey,
a
scam. Malarkey, malarkey,
malarkey. And you look at it, Alabama, you know, once upon a time passed a law that said there were no such thing as pack-to-pack transfers, right? So you can't do that anymore because we want to keep
Steve Marshall did this all transparent.
And
Steve Marshall did it.
Okay, Steve Marshall did it. Yes, he did do that. And the court let him do it, even though later on Ethics Commission said it was totally illegal, what he did. We got that. Where I was trying to go on this is to say that Alabama, you can give as much money as you want to a candidate. Corporations can give as much money as they want to a candidate, and it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, you can also...
States, other red states have limits on this.
Yeah, right.
We used to... Well, Alabama used to have those, and they got lifted under the Republican rule.
Well, I remember writing the story about how this was going to happen. And I go, oh, no. I'm like, yeah. I know there's a bill. I can see. You're going to do this. And they did it. So now it's just open gate. And I want to point to, and not just to pick on Arthur Orr, but Senator Arthur Orr out of Decatur up there where Josh is from, he has no competition. I mean, he's got a libertarian guy who's raised maybe about just chump change, right? Yeah.
But Orr, not enough to even register for his campaign.
Orr has almost $1 million in the bank and is still raising money. Like he just recently brought in another $40,000, and he hasn't spent a dime, Josh. Not a dime.
Yeah, you know, these people do this, and most of the time it's a setup for future office. You know, they're preparing themselves for something down the line where they're going to actually have a competitive race, and so they just continue to stockpile cash. There's no normal person who would look at this. If you take away the Republican and Democratic sides of this thing, all right, and you just start talking about it logically, there's no normal person, average person, who would say the way that we do it now is okay and that we should continue. Everybody would say, yes, we need to have some limits on the amount of money that you can give. Yes, we need to have some limits on how much money you can raise when you don't actually have an opponent. Yes, you know, there's only so much money you should have in the campaign account. All of these things, because these people are buying interest. They want something from you, okay?
Yeah, that's all there is to it.
It may not be illegal, but they want something.
Yeah, I mean, you look at nationally, you know, presidential races now are $1 billion.
Yeah.
You look over in Georgia, Warnock's got 62 million. I mean, DeSantis down in Florida's got gazillions of dollars. It's just rampant with money.
We're talking about governor's races here with DeSantis in Georgia and all this. Billions of dollars, really?
I mean, it's just a lot. And again, it's like what Josh says. They have an interest. They want something for it.
Of course.
I had an old friend in politics who told me one time, he said, if I can't smoke their cigars and drink their whiskey and vote against them, I don't want their money. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, you know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag, something has to stop it, and unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
I'm Donald Trump, and I love Alabama. As many of you know, there are few issues facing our nation as important as election integrity and election fraud. This is why the people of the great state of Alabama must work together to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. So get out, register to vote. and get a photo ID so you can make your voice heard and decide the future of our great country. Thank you.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Last week, the Department of Corrections announced that the work stoppage at Alabama prisons, the strike, had ended. And, you know, they had some pretty nasty ways of dealing with the incarcerated individuals there and the way that they handled the strike. I mean, that these people are not forced to work in prison. That is not part of the program. But they do work in certain areas, doing maintenance and food service, food prep, and all that stuff. They went on strike, Susan. They had a list of demands. I don't think anything changed.
No, if anything, it just got worse, because what they started, what the correctional officers did was target anybody that was involved in the strikes and start doling out extra punishment for them in various ways.
At least that's what we were told.
That's what we've been told, and I don't doubt it. But no, it just, it kind of made it worse. You know, these are human beings. They are incarcerated, but they're still human beings. They still have certain rights under, you know, the humanity, that they should be able to, you know, voice their feelings and all that without retaliation. But that's all it really brought, was retaliation. Nothing got done.
I mean, Josh,
I blame on ADOC, because they just didn't respond.
Josh, I mean, the list of demands was pretty long, but most of them were reasonable. They want to reestablish parole, hearings that actually mean parole. They would like to see an end to the practice. They want to reinstate the practice of good time, things like that. Encourage prisoners to behave and do well. But our parole board doesn't want to parole anyone, and our attorney general is fighting against the good time law. And there's no incentive for these people to behave. And they did behave during a strike, but they were acted on pretty viciously from what we understand.
Yeah, it's amazing how effective our ADOC can be at stopping a strike, and how ineffective they can be at virtually everything else. You know, yeah. I mean, you tell them to stop, you know, stop prison death. Oh, what can we do? You know, what can we do about all these drugs getting in? But let the prisoners go on strike, you know, for a week or so, and all of a sudden they're an organized machine out there rolling around and stomping it out at the root. It really is. You know, I think it highlights how we view these guys and women in prison, and that's somewhat less than human. And I think that we kind of view them, especially at the ADOC level, as people that we are in control of. That we have every right to take their rights from them, that we have every right to do whatever we want to do with them. And this is how we're going to treat them. And this is, if you don't like this, well, we can make it worse for you. And I, you know, you look at the Department of Justice in this, where the hell are they? Where's the Department of Justice? How much more investigation needs to take place?
I think the Department of Justice has actually written Alabama off. I mean, I really do. They're doing nothing. I mean, the stuff going on in the prisons here is absolutely atrocious, and they're just being mum. I think they've just written us off.
You know, they did that report several years ago, and they threatened to take over the prisons if things didn't change, and then nothing's changed.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
It's worse now than it was.
Exactly.
Josh, you know, and I think, and of course, this study was done under the Trump administration. The Biden administration has just basically ignored what was said. I mean, that's right. Lawsuits.
But they're not doing anything about it.
Right.
You know, it's like an empty threat from your parents. I mean, you know, it's just, they just keep yelling from the other rooms.
It's like Bill said, what was it, 5-6 years ago? It came down, you know, well, we got to address the mental health, and we got to do, are we going to take over your prisons?
Nah. And at the time, there were people who said, this is a bluff. And I went, nah, it was a bluff.
It was a bluff.
But, you know, and there have been efforts to do something, but they never got done. You know, we were supposed to have more correctional officers. Not done.
No.
Better mental health facilities. Not done. Better, you know, inmate protection. Not done.
Better just health facilities for these guys. I've been in their wards, in their health wards. They're horrible.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
What's really kind of, I think, depressing, and I've gotten a lot of emails from incarcerated folks over the last few weeks, and what's really depressing to them is the fact that there are a handful of rehabilitation programs and work programs that have proven to be very effective. And some of those programs are, not staffed at the levels that they should be staffed at, not staffed at the levels in which the federal government is paying us to staff them, and they're not being performed adequately. However, there are still people who go through those programs, and the recidivism rate is less than 10% among those people that graduate from these programs, and they're still not letting them out.
Yeah, that's a shame. I want to bring up one last thing. We only got about a minute and a half here, but clergy members from around the state are calling on Governor Ivey to intervene in the case of Castillo Vaughn, who is serving a 20-year sentence. I mean, look, he did some bad things, burglary.
Breaking into vehicles and burglary.
Yeah. Okay. But what's happened is he got sick. He went and had surgery. Mm-hmm. They said that he refused medical treatment and wanted to go home from the hospital. You look at the pictures, which we have right here, of this emaciated man who his family says, is not capable of making consensual medical decisions. And look at the state, Josh. I mean, it's just terrific.
I mean, just look at the photos of the man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that bears out what the family is saying. There's precedent for this. Other people have been sent home to hospitals to live out their final days. And at this point, you're torturing a person essentially in this manner for allowing him to sleep and stay incarcerated like he is. There's just no reason for it.
And Susan, this goes back to what you said. We should not be treating these people inhumanely, and there is a constitution that says we are not to administer
absolutely
cruel
and from the pictures that I saw, this man is not capable of making health decisions at this point because he's in such bad shape. And where are we as humans if we don't take care of this?
Well,
ADOC is obviously not human.
The ADOC says they can't do anything about it. He's the one's refusing care. We can do things about it. Anyway, we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes. Ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread and kissed them all soundly.
Lights out.
Good night.
And put them to bed. Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. There's a constitutional amendment on the ballot, November 8th, that we're going to change our constitution. And basically, the legislature approved an act. The voters said it was okay. Where they're taking the racist language out of the constitution. A committee got together. They removed the racist language. The Constitution of Alabama has over 950 amendments. Mm-hmm. They're compiling those or recompiling those so that they don't overlap. They're going to be placed into the Constitution itself, so you don't have all these amendments. I mean, only India's constitution mm-hmm. is bigger than Alabama's, and they compete for who has the biggest one. Susan, you know, I do not trust that there's not some sneaky stuff in here, but it is done, and it will go to the voters on the 8th.
It will. Now, I have to say, I'm all for taking all the racist language out and compiling all. I mean, basically, in the state of Alabama, if you got to get a pothole fixed in your street in front of your house, you have to have a constitutional amendment to get that done. That's a bit of an overstatement. However, the last time they tried to take the racist language out, they actually were also going to take out the right for children to have a public education.
Public education.
So while it's all good and fine that we're going to do this, we're going to have to be very careful and very vigilant to watch what they're actually doing with it.
I mean, Josh, you know, a lot of our friends think this is a great thing. I think it's a great thing. I just don't know who did it. I mean, we know who did it, but we don't know what, you know, we just never know. It was not done where we could see what happened.
Well, you know, I know I've talked to a lot of the folks that are part of the group that were handling this and or that was handling this. And, you know, it was a bipartisan group. And so I feel relatively, you know, assured, I guess, that what we have taken out of here are, you know, fairly benign things, things that were obviously racist, but things that don't really impact other portions of laws and life in Alabama outside of it just simply being embarrassing for us. And so, I feel like that this has been done in a manner that was fairly open. That was well discussed, that involved equally both sides of the aisle, people from both sides of the aisle, and also some folks who, you know, are fairly smart people around from around the state. And so I feel okay with this attempt at it. I think you were right the last time that we had this come up, that there were some sneaky things that kind of went on. And I think the folks that were involved this time worked to try to put those fears aside and put those fears to rest. And actually go after the things that are kind of embarrassing for the state that people bring up a lot in terms of economic development opportunities and other things when they talk about how embarrassing our 1901 Constitution is.
Well, I hope this is successful. I really do. And I wouldn't discourage anybody from voting for this. Okay. I wouldn't discourage anybody from voting for this.
I wouldn't either.
But and you hit on it, and one of the members of the committee that worked on this said, well, this is kind of a rebranding for Alabama. What in the world, to quote your daughter, what in the world? Rebranding Alabama by taking out the racist language when we have racist statements all the time coming out of our lawmakers? I mean, come on now. Rebrand Alabama. We have one of the strictest abortion laws in the country. We have one of the strictest ethics laws in the country that doesn't get enforced.
No, it's useless.
You know, we have no gun control in the state. I mean, come on. You think this is going to help rebrand us? Tommy Sorry. Tuberville brands us. Mo Brooks brands us.
I think you're 100% right in what you're saying. However, I do think that it does matter because, I mean, there are still, even despite all of the things that go on, there are still, I would say, you know, monthly stories and news articles or whatever that come out about our Constitution and the racist language that's in the Constitution, the racist way our forefathers here in this state set up our system of government and our tax system and how, you know, all of these things that carried forward. And so I do think it's important if we now look back at this and we want to go and change it. I think that's an important step to take. I also think it's very important for the process of it itself to educate a lot of people on exactly how racist we have been over the course of time and that we want to change that.
I mean, go ahead, Susan.
It's Alabama, all right? We're going to have to take baby steps, little baby steps. To maybe for when Andy Liu and our other grandchildren are grown, that they won't have to deal with the stigmatism that we have to deal with.
Well, I tell you, the 1901 Constitution was written to disenfranchise
black individuals.
It was meant to disenfranchise poor Alabamians. Mm-hmm. It was meant to disenfranchise women. Are you telling me we're still not doing that?
That's not a hell of a job. There's no doubt about that. It's not hard, honestly, it's probably the most consistent and reliable thing we have working in government. But any opportunity I think that we have to go back and take this sort of language out of our official document.
I agree. I love Alabama. No. I love our state. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. But again, I find it humorous. But we really got to move on.
We've got to get the racist language out. We absolutely have to do that. We just got to watch them about what else they're going to try to put in there.
Well, we just got to get it out of the attitudes. But Richard Shelby is going to be retiring at the end of this term in 2023. Josh wrote a fitting tribute to what I believe is our greatest senator.
Yep.
And Josh, we only got about 30 seconds, but let our viewers know why and a little bit of what you wrote about Senator Shelby.
Well, I just kind of pointed out that, that he and I don't agree on very much or if anything at all for the most part. But I appreciate the way that he's done the job. It's kind of a throwback to a time when you doing the job is what got you reelected. You know, you doing a good job is how people judged you. And I think Richard Shelby has, for the most part, served the state of Alabama well. You know, I think that there are things he could have done differently, and I wish he would do differently, and things he would think of differently and speak out more about. But he's not me. And what I want from a person from the other side of the aisle is to go out and at least work for the people of the state of Alabama. And that's what he's done. He's brought in those federal dollars. He's brought in a lot of programs. He's made a huge difference for this state. And that's all you can ask for. In addition to, you know, if I told you that somebody said an embarrassing racist statement, one of our senators said something embarrassing and racist, you know that Richard Shelby would be the last person you'd expect from that.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't need the screen time or to talk about this or that. All he wants is to do a good job and to bring some money home for the state. And that's, something that's admirable, I think, and something that's missing a lot in government.
All right. Well, that's going to have to be the last word. Richard Shelby is a major hero to Alabama.
He is.
You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. We'll be right back.